I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. As always, tons to get to you over the next 3 hours. Smoke and Joe Patrick will join us in the 1 o'clock hour as always. Get deeper into some of these big time college football matchups on Saturday, including the cocktail party, of course. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog, it is as close as we can get to the cocktail party. Also, Falcons going up to Gillette. Is it still Gillette?
It is.
Oh, up there, Gillette and Foxborough. Obviously, the NBA season is kicking, whatever. It was a baseball game last night. Don't know who won. Don't care who won.
Blue Jays won.
I know who won, Eddie. I was just being right there.
I was just going to let people know.
Yeah, they didn't. Don't know and don't care who won. And then, you know, as we continue to get ready, like you said, we're past Sunday, right?
I mean, sure.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. I know we're going to have Joe on.
It's Thursday.
I know.
I might ask him a question about the Dolphins game.
This one, right?
I don't know. Depends.
I'm gonna go forward.
Follow-up.
I'm gonna go forward.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna go forward. Because right. I'm gonna go forward.
Okay.
Because yeah, it's like, you know what? One of those things. What's our favorite phrase? Don't let. We always say we say this about a team, and I want your opinion. I thought about this more. We always talk about don't let a team beat you twice, right?
Yeah.
But hold on.
Yeah.
That we relate that to the players, right? More than anything, the team itself, right?
Definitely.
What about the fan?
I think the fans have been beaten multiple times by a lot of different teams.
But I'm just saying, like, in general, with that phrase when it comes to the fan, to a fan of a team.
No, I think that applies just to the team.
Okay. All right. I'm just curious.
I think.
Okay.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying because it's like one of those things where, okay, you have a bad – your team has a bad performance. Mm-hmm. You're coming up on another game.
Don't let that affect your performance as a fan.
No. Or your thought process or your mood. Because, you know, you're coming around and you got an opportunity. You got 3 days, whatever, how many days until the next time. You know, so that's why I think when I'm just asking the question. I'm curious. It's like because of the last two losses, it's compounded. It's like.
Yeah. The mood has been affected.
Yeah, the mood has been affected. Okay.
The mood has been affected.
Okay. So. If you're listening out there, are you excited about Sunday?
I think everybody's excited about it.
Okay, I'm just curious. Okay.
Yeah, I think definitely. But I think there's, you know how it is. I mean, it's the momentum coming off of a win versus the disappointment coming off of a loss. And now there's two in a row. And the one Sunday is, I mean, it's not the every loss isn't the same,
right.
Obviously.
I agree.
I mean, it is maybe to the guys in the locker room, but and for their mentality, it needs to be for sure.
Right.
Like, okay, it happened. We move on. But, like, you know, we saw it. It's not the same thing. The loss you had week one to Tampa where you couldn't make a field goal at the end, I mean, that's sort of that's like an execution.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that to me.
Situation.
That to me is more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely more heartbreaking, yeah. But also probably easier to bounce back from, too, where it's like, all right, you do this right, and also that obviously led to a personnel change.
Right.
Maybe that fixed it, which, I don't know, we'll see. Yeah. Outdoor on Sunday. That's something to think about as you get ready for that game. But again, I'll say this. I hope that you're in a situation where a field goal would win it for you.
Right.
Because there's been a couple games this year where you weren't even there.
Right.
You know? That would mean that the Falcons were a competitive I assume at least at times well executing football team on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to see, right? Like
yeah.
that's the difference between the games that have gone well and the games that have gone absolutely terribly. And the thing for me that's really interesting about this team, and I say this about Penix all the time. He didn't play Sunday, so it doesn't really apply to him. But you can pretty well tell how the game's going to go for the Falcons in the first quarter.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
Like, all right, they look like they've got a good game plan.
Right.
They're whatever. They're ready. I don't know. I don't know what the mix is that leads to them either having good starts or having bad starts. But there's been no ability to adjust or rebound when things are going badly. Mm-hmm. And when things are going good, they tend to stay going good. I mean, in the Buffalo game, there was a lull in the third quarter, but I think part of that was your left tackle got hurt, so you were adjusting to a new offensive lineman, got it together in the fourth quarter, ultimately didn't score a ton of points in the second half, but scored enough, and defense
right.
played good.
Right.
I mean, it just went sideways from the jump against Carolina and Miami. So, again, something we talk about with Georgia all the time, try to get off to a good start if you can, if you can help it. I don't know what that is. I don't know why the Falcons are like that, but that's been true so far this season.
Yeah, it has been. It has been. And I think, you know, a lot of times when you look at teams who are not built to, as far as we've seen, built to, are able to adjust when the adjust is needed. Also, if a team is down, can they battle back and win a football game?
What tends to be the hallmark of teams that adjust well?
Oh, man. I think more or less, a lot of times whenever we talk about adjusting well, if whatever is going bad for you, you can always flip it into, you know what, okay, we can go away from that because we can do this. And the Falcons don't have the ability so far this year to be able to, when this is gone, because, one, you have a young quarterback.
Yeah.
Two, the receiving core isn't where I thought it would be right now. It isn't. I'm sorry. It just isn't where I thought it would be and what it should be.
It's been bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they fired the wide receiver.
Yeah, and so you look at it from that standpoint where, you know, is it more or less, is it the personnel why you can't do it? Is it the personnel why you got to stick with a specific game? I've been on heavy run teams where most of the time our best player was our running back. Falcons' best player is their running back. Now, when people would stack the box and try to stop Ricky, we had players on the outside, but we didn't. I mean, you know how I feel about me some damn Jay Feeler, but he, you know, it was one of those things where if you didn't want him to throw it, I mean, if he didn't have to throw it, you would pretty much just, you know, figure out something else around it. Short passing game, things like that. But I think that with this team, it's just, it's so obvious that they cannot, there is no plan B with this team. Now, I'm sorry, there is probably a plan B, they just can't execute the plan B.
Yeah, plan B hasn't gone.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. They can't execute the plan B.
Plan A, pretty clearly, as it should be,
right,
is hand the ball to Bijan and let him loosen the defense up.
Yes.
Now, when they're not blocking for him, as they haven't been the last couple of weeks, and I thought that was probably the most interesting bit of information that we've gotten this week from the coaching staff. They're going to say a lot of stuff. It's fine. They're not going to tell us. We get it. But to find out that the offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach had a 30-minute phone conversation immediately, or in face, whatever, an immediate meeting after that football game, like, all right, good. That makes sense. That makes sense that they would be like, something is wrong up front.
Yes.
That's leading to this not working, which is leading to everything else not
because
working.
Because a lot of times, you know, and I mean, not throwing, they sound like a shade. When you have a guy who is not a NFL starter, eventually you get out of him as much as you can. I think they've got everything they can out of out of Wilkerson.
I think that's right.
You know what I mean?
Like, it started to show up in the San Francisco game for the first time, really, like, oh,
yeah, like
that's a third
like
string.
Exactly.
Tackle.
Some guys just have a 4 or 5 game start streak where you can get away with him, and then it's all of a sudden it gets to a point where, okay, defensively, there he is.
So exactly, because that's what I was wondering.
There he is.
Because obviously I don't have the X's and O's eye for that, but like they saw him play for 5 games too, and they saw the Falcons were still heavily running the ball to the right side, which you want to be able to run the ball to both sides, obviously, and up the middle if you can. But they were still running it right as much as they traditionally would, and some of the hugest plays of the year were coming from that side, too.
Biggest play of the year came from that side.
And then all of a sudden, San Francisco lines up their edge rusher way out wide, and he just tears Muhammad Wilkerson up. Or Elijah Wilkerson. Who's Muhammad Wilkerson?
I don't know. The D-lineman for the Jets.
Yeah, okay.
Because right? I was at Muhammad.
Yeah, you got me calling
I was like,
Elijah Wilkerson. Yeah. And he gave him fits all night long. And then he didn't have a great game. I don't think anybody on the offensive line had a great game against Miami.
Because they didn't.
And when that's the case, I mean, it's not just run blocking. It's also pass protection
but see, that
as
goes,
well.
That goes back to a lot of times when we talk about the adjustment that you've learned. Okay, you go – the hardest thing to do against a wide in their staple play – is to run when there's a wide technique guy, when there's a wide 9, a wide 5, whatever you want to call it.
And that's what the 49ers did.
And it's hard because the edge is kind of automatically set. Yeah. So that's when you change, you go to the sideline, and you draw something else. Okay, this is what we need you to do, Elijah. You block him. All right, interior guy up to this guy. Important block is that backside guard to get the scoop block and all those different things. That's an adjustment to it. Not necessarily we're just going to run into it because he's already at it because the guy's already wide.
Yeah, or just you can't just run away from it either.
Yeah.
Because then they just shut down that side of the field and made you not one-dimensional but took away half of one of your dimensions. We did here, and we've been joking about this, but it's true. Storm Norton practiced yesterday.
Yeah.
And Raheem said as soon as he's fully able – that's a competition again.
Yeah.
He's better than the guy who's out there right now.
He is.
I'm not trying to pin all this on.
It's not him.
It's all of them. It's his execution. It's other guys' execution. It's the plan. It's the plan B. It's all of that. So don't mistake this as me like trying to scapegoat the third string right tackle for everything that's gone wrong over the last couple of weeks. But if you have a guy who's better, you put him in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you kind of bridge the gap to the point where you could, and maybe now you put him out there and look again. As much as I don't want to scapegoat that guy, I don't want to sit here like Storm Norton being the starting right tackle.
It's gonna put him to another level.
Everything's fixed now. Yeah. We're good.
Gonna take him to another level.
I don't want to do any of that. But all of that to say, like, I do think if there's any like silver lining at all, if you want to give any credit at all to what happened after the last time the Falcons had a loss like this, they did respond pretty well.
They did.
They scored 55 points in six quarters after they gave up that awful loss to Carolina. They came out and had their best offensive game of the year against the Commanders, and then they went out and had 21, almost 28 in the first half against the Bills on Monday Night Football. Now, since then, I think they've only scored two touchdowns.
Yep.
So things have gone sideways since then. Obviously, that's why we are where we are. But they responded well to that. Everyone's saying the right things coming out of what happened on Sunday against Miami. We won't know. All that matters about what they say is what they do on 1 o'clock on Sunday
when
they kick the ball off. But they responded well to it last time. I don't know.
I mean, the thing about it is that you're going up against a team that is playing well. They're playing really, really well. We'll talk about the Patriots. You know, they're very well coached. They have plan Bs and As and Cs and everything like that. If the Falcons somehow can take advantage of one of the flaws that they have. And so, you know, you're going to be in a standpoint where the coaching aspect, first of all, hopefully everybody's healthy for the damn Falcons.
Yeah,
quarterback,
really
receiver.
Nice to have
it would be
Jalen
nice.
Walker.
Yes.
Zach Harrison.
If you can find a way to get all these guys healthy and get them in there contributing, because, you know, I think maybe Harrison's been your best defensive lineman so far this year.
I think so.
You know, and so then you lose him as linebacker. I mean, you're losing guys. You're young safety.
I also think it's no coincidence that Jalen Walker's missed the last two games where you've been really bad against the run.
Because that's the thing about it. He came into the league being able to play the run. He came into the league being able to do that. So hopefully you can get a lot of these guys back. And because this team is so much better when all their guys, just like when all your dudes are in, you're a lot better. Hopefully when you talk about the offensive game, the passing game, I saw Zach Robinson talk about Moody, like he's coming around and everything. Hopefully.
It seems like
it's, it. Because the thing about it was, I know we talk, he looked good running the route. Kirk just missed him.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the week before, he had his best game.
Yes.
Against the 49ers.
Yes.
Again, still had a really frustrating drop in the second half of that game. But, you know, based on what he looked like earlier, he looked better.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So, and then Drake London needs to play.
Drake didn't even play.
Like, there's just no other way around it.
Yeah.
No other way to put it than that. There's a lot of interesting parallels as well. Patriots are right now in terms of their kind of rebuild, probably.
Yeah.
And where the Falcons are also. Feels like they're a little ahead of where we are, which isn't
not surprising.
It's a little frustrating because they're a little behind on the timeline, but a little ahead in terms of progress. We'll come back. We'll let you hear a little bit from Coach Raheem Morris from yesterday. The Hawks won last night, although they may have lost one of their guys for a while.
Not one of the guys, the guy.
The guy may be out for a while. We'll tell you about that. What an ugly basketball game that was. It's awful. All right, we'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
The end part, exactly right. I mean, his job is to just turn the page, get on to the next one, fix it, and keep it moving.
Right.
It's not a crisis in that building the way that it is outside of that building. Correct. Every time something goes wrong or a couple Correct. Games go wrong or whatever.
Correct.
That's exactly right. Like, that's the job of a head coach or whatever, CEO, like a manager in baseball. One of the reasons we love Snit so much was he always had the big picture approach. Like, it's your job to keep everything calm,
right.
Keep it even keel. Like, if somebody, you know, if you have to fire someone, you fire them. If you have to make a move, you make a move, of course. But like, one of the things that got Raheem Morris the job in the first place was his demeanor.
Yes.
Was his ability to relate to players and coaches and stuff like that. And again, does that mean he's going to win Super Bowl? I don't know. I hope it does. But that he got the job by being himself.
Correct.
You have to continue to be yourself when you have the job as well, and when you start switching it up and acting overreactionary or whatever, then people start looking at you funny.
And that's why I was saying, when everybody talks about the yelling and getting and all those other, that's just not him. And he said that in the Duke Sabel interview yesterday. It was basically like, what's that going to do? What's that going
to
solve?
Right. His job is to figure out what's going wrong
and fix it.
Fix it. Keep everybody even keeled during so,
yep.
And then put it on the field on Sunday.
That's it.
And if they don't do that enough times, then he won't be here and you won't have to worry about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I mean, this is results-oriented business.
The first part, unfortunately.
Is he lying?
Isn't really that much of a stretch.
Yeah.
Like, there's been, I mean, you know, 17, they were pretty good offense.
Yeah, they were
I think
good.
19, they had pretty good offense.
Which year was that?
It was, I think that was year, sorry. 17 was actually down a little bit. 18 was year two with Sark. Year two of Sark was actually pretty good. I think they were a top 10 offense that year.
Okay.
But since then, I mean.
Yeah. Since then you had Marcus Mariota.
I don't think.
Desmond Ridder.
I think you just got to take what he said. Like, he didn't say they're as good as 16.
Yeah.
No one would say that.
He said most since.
Yeah, since.
Yeah. He did say since.
And sadly, it's kind of true.
Kind of true, man. That's yeah. what I was thinking. I was like, hold on. Yeah, yeah, because you had some people overly emotional about that comment.
Now, I think that's more about how bad it's been.
Yes.
And I also don't think that's what he meant. I think he was trying to give his offense a compliment and say, we're actually pretty good now.
No,
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
You're pretty good when you're able to do, you know. And the thing about it is like, all teams have something that they hang their hat on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? All teams do. But other teams, more experienced coordinators, more experienced, you know, quarterbacks. You know, you find ways because the thing about play calling is it's setting up the next play. That's what Norv always when I asked Norv this a long time ago. And he said the most important thing a play caller can do, obviously, put your players in the best position, but always be ready for the next play.
You answered my question that I asked you like 15 minutes ago. That was the final part of it right there when I said what tends to be the hallmark of teams that make good adjustments. Norv.
Yep.
Great coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously execution, personnel, all that. But like, teams that in game can identify what's not working and have a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times that happened before Sunday too. Like, the plan B is Thursday, Friday, meeting room. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That doesn't, in the moment, you're like, oh God, they're doing this. We've got to do this. We've never practiced it before. No, you got to be, you have to be versed in what you're trying to switch
exactly.
to also. But,
and the thing about it is,
good coaching tends to be able to pivot well.
But, and the thing about it, it's not one of those things where it's a complete switch. You know what I mean? Like, it's other call. Like, I'll use the example of a complete switch of a game plan because of what they did as far as scheme. We used to play the Patriots with Bill Belichick, right? They were a base, pretty much 3-4 defense box. All week long, because they played the Chargers the week before. They all week long putting this new play called Sam. All right, this new play called Sam. All right, 44 and whatever, Sam. Sam play. And so we come out there. That was going to be the second play of the game, Bonk. Second play of the game. All right. And we get out there, break the huddle, first play. They're in a freaking 4-3 defense. So you're like, oh, hell. Can't pretty much run the run game that we had based on what the 3-4. So he had a three and out. We'll go over the sideline. Okay, we're not going to be able to run Sam.
Scrap that.
And let's go back to our bread and butter play that we usually run against four down linemen.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that we did.
Which you had. And you had practice.
Yes.
And you knew how to do it.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, when you're talking about an overhaul of a whole offense on the sideline, no, that's not what we're talking about. Adjust to what they're doing. All right. Dictate to them, and that's what the best thing about the best offense to dictate that's to you right. what they're going to do.
That's right.
They just do. All right, we're going to do this. All right, yo ass go over there and like, okay, we got to bring a guy down. Okay, you got to line up a little tighter inside on his outside shoulder, all those different things. Usually when that happens, that means you kicking the defense's ass. Like Miami did that to Atlanta last week.
Yep.
Yeah.
49ers did too.
49ers did that to them also. Yep. Like, we're just going to attack you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know where your weaknesses are, and we're just going to attack it over and over, and we're going to do what we can to keep the personnel grouping that is maybe has y'all at a bind, and we're going to do everything we can to keep that on the field.
Yeah, and that was one of the little nuggets they gave us over the last couple of days too was I think they were surprised that the Dolphins from what Zach Robinson said, they simplified their defense a little bit more than they had played. Maybe they had been doing a bit more in weeks before, and then they came into the Falcons game and really just drilled it down to what they wanted to do to attack Atlanta.
And sometimes you got to do that.
But then I guess that threw the Falcons off or whatever. But like, all right, well, this is what they're doing. Then you adjust and do what you can do against that.
Right.
There's always little adjustments and chess moves and stuff like that. But that doesn't mean that you can't dictate to them what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do in order to hang your hat on anything.
Yes.
Like, again, I think there's a little peg on the wall that the Falcons want to hang their hat on, and it says run the ball with Bijan. But I don't think that peg's secured in the wall very well now, Randy.
Not. No, it's not.
I don't think they hang their hat on it too good.
No, it's not. But I mean,
that little hook keeps falling out.
Yeah,
you know
but
I mean?
Think the biggest thing is, I mean, you can help Bijan out even more if you're able to make some plays in the pass game. If you can make some plays in the pass game, make more plays in the pass game, that helps your run game so much. I know the offense, the run game opens up things, play action. They don't play action, so it don't matter about running the ball. They don't play action here. But I think
I know.
Yeah.
So you don't even run to set up the pass anyway because you don't play action.
You don't play action anyways. And so, I mean, can you find ways to loosen up the defense is the most important thing. And that helps if you have Drake London and Moody getting better and better, and obviously Kyle Pitts is playing well. Can you figure out a way to do that?
Your starting quarterback.
More importantly,
nice him to too. Have him out there.
Yeah, most important, him too. And so, I mean, from signs from yesterday, it seems like he's going to be ready to play this weekend.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Although it's the same thing they said last week.
Right.
Was he expects to play and all that kind of stuff? So, I hope.
Let's hope so. Especially if Kirk got all the bulk of the reps last week and looked the way he looked, if he's getting less reps. That don't sound good.
Yeah.
That's not very enticing there, Buck.
No, man. No, we're good on that one. We don't need to see that again. You really thought you could get one. You thought you could beat the Dolphins with Kirk Cousins playing quarterback, didn't you?
Yep.
If you had to have one or two games here and there with a backup in there. Because remember, it was you got the best backup in the NFL. Do you?
Do you?
Do you? Because
yeah.
If he was that good, he'd still be the starter.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. The Hawks won last night. Let's hear Jalen Johnson dunk the basketball.
So the Hawk lead is down to 10 again, 102-92 with 8:10 to go in the game. Jalen Johnson goes right down the lane, and he jams. Oh, Jalen went flying through the air and jammed that home with one hand. And it's 104-92, Hawks by a dozen.
Man.
Hawks get the win 117-112.
You had to, like, watch that first 6 or 7 minutes of that game.
That was a bad stretch.
That was brutal.
For the Hawks offense.
Yes, that was
a bad stretch.
Brutal.
They still somehow outscored Brooklyn by 7 points in the first quarter.
Yeah, because they finally
they were down 13-0.
And they finally figured it out and all those different things. But yeah, that first 6 minutes was just brutal basketball.
Awful.
Ball hitting the side of the damn backboard.
Like airballed floaters.
Just ugly.
Yeah, that was ugly.
Yeah.
And I would say that the fourth quarter was pretty ugly too.
Yes.
Like there was some pretty bad execution.
Like you're just gonna let
quarter.
Brooklyn back in this thing, man. Brooklyn don't want to win that damn game. Brooklyn don't want to win any game.
No, they're 0-5.
Yeah,
they're very
they don't
want
to win any games.
They're very
man.
Bad. They do have a couple of my favorite guys though. Like Cam Thomas is we talked about this last week, I think, when you were out, me and Abe. Cam Thomas is my number one seed for irrational confidence.
Okay.
He's sure he's Kobe. In like 2008.
But the thing about it
like
is.
He's sure about it.
They gave them the money to stay.
Sure.
Right?
Did they? They pay Cam?
Yeah, I think they did. I think they did.
Well, they should. They should give him a max contract and let him do that forever. I want Cam Thomas taking 20 shots a night for the Nets for the foreseeable future. And then he's paired alongside Michael Porter Jr., who actually played really well last night, who is finally fulfilling his destiny.
Oh, I take that back.
I think that was Cam Johnson.
Then they traded. What am I saying?
Cam Thomas.
Oh, Cam Thomas. I'm sorry.
They traded Cam Johnson
to Cam
Denver,
Johnson, the Denver
for
that's
Porter.
Right. That's what it was. Okay.
One of the perfect trades in the NBA. And now Michael Porter is fulfilling his destiny as the star player on a lottery team.
Yeah, man. He was good last night.
He played really well.
Yeah, and he's going to be a guy that he's going to put up big numbers and all those different things, and they're still going to stink.
Yep.
The biggest thing coming out of the last night game is Trae Young.
That's right.
And you just hope that it's nothing serious. Saw that guy just fell on his leg. Trae tried to go back in, but you saw I just couldn't go. Went immediately back to the locker room. Did they do the MRI yet or no?
We haven't heard.
You haven't heard anything yet? Okay.
The update on that. I mean, just guessing because it's so early in the season and it's one of those things. They said it's not like an ACL. It's not like a big internal knee issue.
Right.
There's no timeline yet.
Right.
Probably a week. You know?
Let's hope so.
You know what it is?
Let's hope so, dude, man, because, yeah.
I'll be honest. I'm interested to see what they look like without him just because there's so many new guys and, like, you need to figure out who's the backup point guard.
How about
anyway?
My guy Walker going down the lane trying to wrap around? Oh, God.
He played really good last
night. Did you see the way he going down the lane trying to wrap around his body? I was like, oh, hell.
Are doing a little bit too much?
Yeah, just a little bit too much.
Pete Wallace played pretty good in his 14 minutes, too.
And it looks like, your big three-point guy was Luke Kennard was
really good. Finally shot the basketball.
Yeah, really good.
Let it fly, Luke.
Let it fly, Luke. Hey, this Saturday noon to 2, join Ali Mack and Lou Saab. Kia and Cummings as we get you ready for Sunday's big game. Obviously, the one lucky fan will win the Ultimate Tailgate Kit, a 50-inch 4K smart TV with the rolling stand. Plus, there will be tickets for the upcoming home games. That's this Saturday, noon to 2, from Lou Saab, Kia and Cummings with Ali Mack.
First hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back, talk a little Georgia, Florida. Ahead of their matchup on Saturday afternoon. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
9.
Yeah, man.
Kicks off tonight in the NFL. I mean, we're halfway, which is crazy. I mean, it flies by. We always say it when we're getting there at the end of summer. Hey, enjoy it. Enjoy every single week you can because it flies by once it starts. Thursday night football tonight between the Ravens and the Dolphins. Lamar Jackson will be back, so that should be fun. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in about 20 minutes from right now. Back into all of the other games in college football beyond just Georgia and Florida, which we're going to talk about in a couple minutes as well.
God, dog, I lost this clip because I was with all these coach firings and everything, and Kent State, whoever they're
right,
yeah, they went ahead and just gave him a kind of like, all right,
they promoted him from interim,
yeah, like here you go, all right, we like what we've seen. Mm-hmm. Here's your contract. You're going to be the next coach for the next 4 years. I'm like, that wouldn't happen in one of these other jobs. Because, like.
Happened at Tech.
But no, they let him finish out the season, right? Yeah. Right. This mid-season.
But kind of. Yeah.
So, yeah. But I thought, do you think, I'm curious, when you just said that, do you think that the Georgia Tech base or whoever makes hires thought the Brink Key was being good?
No.
I didn't think so.
I remember when they made the hire, and there was a lot of people that were like, oh, this is low budget.
Yeah.
Small-minded, not creative, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, whatever. You say whatever you want and then pretend no one heard you 2 years
ago.
Exactly.
He just went kicked all them in the nuts.
Yeah, and now you're like, it's the smartest thing they've ever done, and I knew it would be.
Yeah, he went kicked. And I bet whoever his agent is like, hey, partner, you remember all that? You remember that bump y'all gave us? We don't want no bump, dog.
Yeah, it's not a bump.
No, it's not a bump, bro. We won't. What's bigger than a bump? A knot.
An eight ball.
A knot.
I didn't know what you were talking about.
Knot or a boil or whatever,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, something.
Something. We need something bigger than that, right? Than a little bump, you know? But, I was just curious about that. They really thought, like, okay. We'll let him go for a couple of years, and then we'll see if we can find somebody more.
To me, it reminds me of the Brian Snitker situation.
Yes,
where it was like, that's convenient. And he did pretty good. They seem to like him. He's an alum.
Right.
Let's keep him around. And then, lo and behold, here we are. They got a chance to be 9-0 if they win on the road on Saturday night against NC State. It's, you know, I mean, we keep doing this with a lot of different teams, but it's happening with Georgia Tech this year. Where it's like they haven't had this record since some date in the distant past.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff with Vanderbilt. It's like they haven't beaten a ranked team since this. They haven't been ranked like this since that.
Amazing what a portal and money can do.
You get the right quarterback and the right coach. You allocate the right funds to the right spots, and you're in it.
Yep.
It's what it is.
That, I mean,
it literally is in this, because you and me, I think, get annoyed at the microwave desires of society a lot these days. It literally is a microwave world in college football right now, which is why people get so mad so quickly and you fire coaches in the middle and pay them $50 million to go away. I also do think a little bit like, I think some things that happen in one sport, and I'm separating college football and the NFL in this one for the sake of the argument. I think sometimes the NBA, what they do, can mess up people's perception of what's happening in the NFL. That always happens with the money, right? Or what happens in baseball and some of the guaranteed there. Like, I think people get caught applying the thought process of one sport to another one.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening a lot right now in the NFL with the mentality of college football coaches, because it's never been a quicker trigger to fire a college football
at
coach
all.
Than right now.
Like, we'll just take that.
And people want that in the NFL too, because it's football. And yeah, you have the same passion for your college team as you might have for your NFL team. And all right, well, it's not going the way that I want it to. Get him out of here. Get the new guy in. The NFL doesn't tend to work like that historically, but it is a little bit more like that now.
Yeah.
So it's not quite college, because not a lot of teams do it. But yeah, I mean, how many guys over the last couple of years, even New England, like you're playing the Patriots this weekend, they got him out of there pretty quick.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, when you look at that whole situation, like the Patriots, it was one, you know, Bill was out and Gerard was the guy. He was a handpicked guy. And that was this was like prior, years prior. Yeah,
he had been the coaching waiting for years.
Years prior.
Which
to be a leader.
Does that ever work in the NFL?
Because
it rarely happens, but does it ever work?
Not that I could think of.
I can only think of two examples of it even happening off my top of my head, because I didn't think about it till now, but that one didn't work.
Okay.
And then Mike Holmgren handpicked Jim Moore Jr. In Seattle, and that was a disaster.
That's what it was. But then, like, you look in college, I mean, was it Muschamp was the coach waiting in Texas for all those years after Mac, but then Florida came with the job and Will left and stuff like that. But I think, you know, when you look at the quick hook now, it's just – it's funny, because you're like, damn, you learned that much after 2 years. You know, meaning, you know, because usually a coach would get 3 or 4 cycles of recruiting.
In college, you used to get a recruiting cycle.
Yeah, you would get that.
There's no such thing.
There's no such thing as that anymore. And that's why when we were talking, I think we might have been talking about this on Tuesday off the air. And there was something that Sark said, and he was talking about building a culture in college. Well, the hardest thing about it is because so many guys leave, and you bring so many guys into that culture. And the guys you're bringing into that culture a lot of times are not high school kids. They're coming from another culture in college, the way they did it. So then you got to reprogram them to bring it in. Like, when you get a kid around high school, it's easy. Come on in there. But when you get a guy from college, from another school, that's probably been at either multiple schools or at a school multiple years, trying to unprogram them to get into yours.
And you might not even be able to unprogram them. It's harder now for two reasons, obviously. You know how you got him.
Yep.
You gave him a whole bunch of money. And he can leave again if he wants to. If he doesn't like your program, he can just
he can just
take his bag and go someplace else. So that does make it really hard. I'm interested to see, and this kind of does lead us into the Georgia-Florida conversation just from a coaching standpoint. We'll get more into the football of it as this segment goes on and the week goes on. But I'm interested to see what Florida does with their head coaching job in the first place. Obviously, it's a very big one. It's open again for the many times over the last decade or so. So they're obviously one of the schools that has a quick trigger as well. And they tried to be patient with Billy Napier.
They did.
Obviously, he sort of fought off the Wolves last year and was given a chance this year and ultimately failed. And here we are again. Kirby is in such an interesting spot of, like, clearly had mastered that last era of college football.
Yes.
Clearly. Of talent acquisition and stacking and depth and doing it that way. Back-to-back national championships. Very easily could have had a third one. And, like, he's obviously maintained that level. I don't think anybody's ever going to be where they were, and maybe Alabama was, and some of those programs that mastered that era in this era because of what we just talked about, all the transition and how easy it is to leave. I'm interested to see what ends up being kind of the – the hallmark of great coaches in this era.
Right.
Because I think it's a little different than it was.
It is.
It was back then.
It is, because you look at Georgia. What's Georgia's biggest issue? They can't rush the passer. Well, one of the top pass rushers in the conference was on your team last year.
Literally on their team last year.
Yeah.
And he left.
And he left.
You know, for
greener.
But he's got 6.5 sacks individually in Missouri, and Georgia has 8 as a defense.
Yes.
Like, it'd be nice to have that guy
right now, man. And so, I mean, when you look at how Kirby's all, because Kirby is a football savant. The man can coach his ass off.
I think that's, I think that's the hallmark.
Yeah.
I think that transcends eras.
Yes. He coaches, he's a generational coach. You know, and as long as he's at Georgia, we're always going to be in the mix. You know, it's not going to be one of those things where you're not going to see Georgia fall off. We might not win championships like that, but we're not going to fall off till you're like, okay, the alumni base is going to be like, hey, is it time to move on? That'll never happen. Herbie leave Georgia when he wants to leave Georgia. Yep. But I mean, when you look at this weekend, we talked about it yesterday, and obviously we'll get deep into it tomorrow. It's like you're going. The new coach energy, you've had 2 weeks. Well, Georgia's had 2 weeks too, you know. But the thing about it this year has been so different, because all of the damn games seem to be the same type of damn game where you're sitting there like, oh, hell, okay.
Just get a stop.
Come on.
It's 3rd and 7. Yes. Just get a stop.
And that's usually the whole first half.
Yeah, dude.
And then you're like, okay.
Georgia's third down defense in the first half has to be the worst in the country.
It has to be. And so now you're going against a team where they're going to got the new play caller. Still have talented guys. New play caller. 2 weeks to implement. I want to say, because I just talked about earlier about the fact that not a whole new system, but new wrinkles.
Yeah, this is different than that, though, obviously.
Yeah, this is obviously completely different.
The other thing, too, about this situation with Florida is there's nothing to lose.
Nothing at all.
Like we just talked about. You don't promote the interim.
Nope.
Billy Gonzalez.
He's not going to be the candidate. Even if he beats Georgia,
he's not going to be the candidate for Florida.
No.
Now, if he beats Georgia, that'll maybe help them keep some of these guys that are on the roster potentially.
Maybe.
Be like, hey, this is a good group. Maybe, again, I don't even know if that matters.
Right.
I genuinely don't know what matters besides people want a lot of money and they want to. Maybe they want a chance to win. I think that plays a part of it as well. I don't know how far that is behind money, but it's far behind it.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's nothing to lose. They could run whatever goofy-ass trick play they want first play of the game. What are you going to do, fire me? No. You just fire that guy.
Yeah.
But I think that makes a team dangerous.
That's what I'm saying. This is a dangerous game for Georgia.
It's not a back against the wall team. We do whatever we want.
If Georgia plays their game, I hate saying playing their game. If Georgia,
what is their game?
I don't know. That's what I said. Never mind.
What would that mean?
If Georgia plays, if Georgia's at his best and Florida is at his best with all these new wrinkles, Georgia beat Florida by 2 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But we ain't seen their best yet.
Yeah,
we seen their best in halves.
Uh-huh.
What's the best game that Georgia's played?
I mean, opponent dependent.
From start to finish? I mean, it probably was the last game they played. And I know they gave up touchdowns on the first five
drives.
You know?
Because the offense is
what Ole Miss does, though.
Yeah, I mean, that damn Chambliss, man.
Here's the other thing. It's also what Georgia's defense does this year, unfortunately. Yep. Like, I think we've gotten to the point. No, I don't know. I think that there's a little bit more nuance to it than just, hey, Georgia's defense isn't going to be very good this year. You just have to accept it. I don't know. I mean, obviously they're not what the standard had been. Yep. I think that's pretty clear. But whatever. I mean, no one is. Really young defense. Like the bulk of the big time players on that side of the ball are freshmen, sophomore, underclassmen, like really inexperienced guys. They have a lot more experience now than they did when they played Alabama.
Yep.
They have a lot more experience now, you know what I mean? Like also Alabama, Tennessee, and Ole Miss are 3 of the top 10 passing offenses in the country.
Yep.
So that defense has seen that now. Florida's not.
No, but Florida has a quarterback. I think Florida has a quarterback just as good as those guys.
Yeah.
Talent-wise.
I don't know.
I think DJ Lagway's a stud.
I do, too.
I think he's a stud.
I do, too. But, again,
I think he's a stud.
We got to see it, though.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I just think he's a stud.
I agree. He's a very talented player. But just statistically, their passing offense is bottom five in the SEC. So Georgia's defense has kind of gotten through that gauntlet of offenses that they're playing.
Yeah.
Remainder of the season, even Tech, who obviously is a really good team and has a dual threat quarterback, but like even Tech doesn't have the offense that some of these teams that they've played already have. So, I mean, it's not crazy to think that a great coach like Kirby, a great defensive coach like Kirby, could develop these young guys as the season goes on.
That was funny as hell what you said.
What?
I said it was bigger than a bump. You did say
I know.
A-ball.
It was such a good joke, and nobody got
oh,
it.
Oh, the listener caught it.
Okay. It was such a good joke.
That was pretty damn good.
Exponentially bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, and that's what Brent Key should get compared to a bump. Like, that's what his contract jump should be.
That's pretty damn good.
I was looking around like that's nobody.
That's pretty
I'm
damn,
not surprised Abe didn't. Yeah, that's but I thought maybe that, you guys.
That's
might.
Pretty damn good, dog.
So, anyway,
but no, I'm obviously excited about this game, the cocktail party. Georgia's, you know, won with four straight.
Oh,
five straight.
Kyle Pitts
was the last time they beat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Georgia's got to go down there again. They've had 2 weeks also. They had 2 weeks to recover, figure out, you know, Kobe Young's situation. He's out. Do you put Noah in this position? Other guys still go to the fact that Georgia played too many damn guys. You play your best three and let go.
Yeah.
And then sub those guys in. But that's just me.
No, honestly, I think, you know, obviously Kobe Young's a really good player, but I think getting a couple of those receivers injured might streamline things a little bit.
Maybe.
Then you just throw it to the guys that are out there.
Yeah.
You don't have to rotate. And I also think Lawson Lucky emerging in the last game is big.
Way to go, Lawson.
Get him involved.
Way to go, Lawson. I mean, both of them.
He's really, Delp too.
Yeah.
They're really good players.
They're good players,
like,
man. They're good players. And, you know, and obviously we know what Zachariah, he's going to catch two screens, at least.
And one of them's going to go for 37 yards.
He's going to catch two screens.
And one of them's going to go for 2 yards.
Yep,
but he's going to make eight guys miss before
he gets those 2 yards. Hey, guys, Sports Talk on the Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch the local NFL games every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL and get started today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.